It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Fun. No conflict Friday? Probably not. We try. We come up with that goal every Friday. No conflict. Adam Hill is here. You know there's going to be conflict. Willie Ramirez is coming in at the end of the hour. More conflict.
Damn it.
Matt Neverett, voice of UNLV football, voice of the Aviators. Probably not a lot of conflict. I almost said contact. But we'll see. Maybe we can stir things up. Bunch to get to today. We are all set up here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bars. We're getting ready for another big sports weekend, although no NBA. We'll get to that inside of 3 minutes as we have the long layoff because they set up the NBA Finals for TV. And since both the Mavs closed it out and Celtics closed it out a few days before, we'll wait on the NBA Finals. Nothing this weekend. Plenty of baseball. We got NHL coming up. We'll see if Edmonton or Dallas moves ahead in the series. 2-2 series. It's in Dallas. Dallas is a minus 130 favorite here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. At the Sportsbook, not necessarily the bar. I don't think they're taking bets up there. They do have kiosk here, though. So you're all set on that. And right now, we'll have to double-check the number. It was 8.5 earlier. Aces are playing today. That'll be on here on ION. Aces in Atlanta. So we'll see. We talked about the Aces yesterday and value sometimes playing against them. They're so good. They know they're so good. Are they up and hungry for every single game? Well, so far they're 4-1, but they're 2-3 ATS. You'd expect them to go in and smash Atlanta. Atlanta's a little bit improved. They're 3-2. So we'll see what happens in that one. That goes at 4:30. But plenty of baseball to get to today as well, and football. Adam Hill checks in here. Well, the Dallas-Edmonton series is, I mean, both NHL series are worth a watch. Dallas, there could be a storyline developing here that we don't see often where, is it NBA and NHL both make the finals in their respective sports in the same year?
Yeah, we've seen it 10 times, including last year, which I had almost forgotten about. When I saw that it had happened 10 times before, and I was like, wow, that seems like it would be much more rare than that. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I was in Miami last year when both series were going on in Miami because both the Panthers and the Heat had made it to the final. But it's happened 10 times in the past. Zero of those years, zero times have both teams from the same city won the same year.
Celtics will be favored. We know that. They are favored.
Yeah.
Against Dallas. So the Mavs are the dog. Eastern Conference favored over Dallas in the NHL?
I think it'll be fairly close.
All right.
I don't think it'll be a significant number. But, I mean, it'd be great for, obviously, I mean, the city of Dallas and the surrounding areas, obviously, because it extends out. But they've had the Rangers have success. Now, obviously, with these two teams making big runs, like it's a good time. Not for the most prominent team in the market.
Well, the funny thing is, it is a good time. They win every year in the regular season. They're 12-game winners every year, even now with the 17-game schedule. They just don't win in the playoffs. My question is, and not to go immediately negative, in a market like
that's
that.
It's our show. Why wouldn't we?
Well, where you've got the Cowboys, I'm very much positive. I'm glass overflowing. In a market where the Cowboys dominate, I mean, NFL dominates every market. I think this one's a little unique because we have a homegrown championship team, and the Raiders are kind of still trying to get it together. Raiders still get it. I mean, you tell me, you don't give me official numbers, but you tell me traffic on the site for the Raiders is amazing, even though they're kind of a 500 program as compared to the Knights. I mean, we can even see it in your staffing. I mean, do you guys go on the road every year with VGK this year?
Not every game.
I mean, right? We got to cut somewhere, right? I wonder what it's like. We'll get someone on Monday or Tuesday in Dallas. What's the second team there? What do you think?
I would think it's the Mavs.
Over the Rangers?
I think so.
An NBA over NHL?
Yeah. Yeah, in Dallas.
In Texas?
In Texas, yeah, I think so.
Why?
I mean, most people didn't grow up with hockey that are, like, adults. of a certain age. I mean, you didn't even have hockey there, and I don't think people were playing hockey growing up.
Yeah. College basketball is pretty big. High school basketball is really big in Texas.
Yeah, the Stars have had success for sure, but I would say it's definitely the Mavs.
Okay. The next question is, like, as compared to the Cowboys, what's the market share there? Yeah. I wonder if you're doing a sports talk show and there's something on Dak Prescott on, you know, game one or two day, say, of the finals that the Mavs made it, if the Stars make it, like, I wonder if half the show is about Dak Prescott.
I would imagine
something
probably
Jared
is.
Did.
Oh,
right?
If it's something big.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's, you know, Dak Prescott made a nice throw at practice, like, no, I don't think that's.
It might be.
I don't think we're at that level yet.
Might be.
But if it's, you know, Dak Prescott demanded a trade, like, yeah, I think it would take over for both those teams.
It just kind of hit me, even though the Cowboys, you know, the biggest team that probably holds 90% of the market share, if not more, they win. There's intense scrutiny on them. Mavs are good. Rangers are good. Not so much this year, but, you know, they're getting there. Stars are good. Is that the best market in the country now?
At the moment, sure.
Is there another market that even compares?
Well, I would say
we'll cut it at, you know, you have to have three teams.
Yeah, but I'll say literally
three major league teams.
We just mentioned that literally last year, Miami had both in the finals, and the Dolphins are very exciting and
Miami
fun.
Miami is good.
So I mean, I would guess maybe Miami
and Boston. Boston used to be, but the Patriots are going to be dreadful for years.
Yeah,
so that's done.
Yeah, it's close, but I think it's there.
We're missing one though.
I don't know
somewhere.
I don't know if we are. That's level of success for all three?
It ain't San Fran. That's kind of split.
No. It's certainly, as much as I'd love it to be my hometown of Detroit, it's certainly not Detroit with how bad the Pistons have been and the Red Wings have been down.
I mean, L.A.'s pretty good.
No.
You don't think both football teams are 9-10 win teams? With an eye on maybe
that's fine. We haven't
competing
seen it.
For a championship?
We haven't seen it, though, so we don't know.
Dodgers are awesome.
Yeah, Lakers are exciting, but they're not good.
Yeah. Damn, Dallas. I think I hate you now.
Dallas is the sports capital of the world.
But see, I say that. I'll throw this one at you. Mavs and Celtics in the finals. There's not anyone who's not from New England anywhere in this country who's rooting for the Celtics. I guess if you're a Midwest or South white, maybe. But here's the thing. Now you got Luka.
It's true.
If that's what you care about.
True. Yeah, I think most people outside of Boston will probably be cheering for the Mavs.
Yeah, I told you a couple weeks ago, I had said, what, maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago, that I thought the Celtics would be the dominant franchise over all of the NBA because they had drafted so well and they had the building blocks of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and, you know, Ainge was doing a lot of good things and they had 8 million picks and then they kind of effed up some of their picks. They made weird trades and signings. They're good and they've been good.
I'm
not that interested in my prediction being correct that the Celtics would be the team to beat and winning championships. I don't want to say it.
Well,
I'm all about. What was the word yesterday? Who used the word fairy tale? We talked about it in the 5 o'clock.
Oh, Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol talked about seeing Taylor Swift and it was a fairy tale experience.
Yes.
I mean, I'll say it. The Kyrie Irving bounce back. He's a Jersey guy. It's where I'm from.
Well, Kyrie Irving.
This could be a fairy tale revival.
Kyrie Irving winning in Boston.
That would be cool too.
It's gonna be wild just him playing that.
Yep, they hate him.
Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating.
When the hype begins on the talk shows on Monday and Tuesday, our talk show and the less important ones, the ones on TV, when they will run with the Luka is better than Larry Bird.
Well,
He
is though. I mean that's fact. There's 150 players in the league better than Larry
Bird. We throw out an opinion, and then you're like, that's fact. It's not fact.
It is. There's 150 players in the league right now better than Larry Bird.
I don't think that's fact either.
Maybe all of them. I don't think, because as I said, I don't think Larry Bird would make the NBA now.
You don't think he'd make the league now?
I don't.
I think he would.
Way too slow.
I think training today.
Who's he covering?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is I heard a really good Cowherd. I don't know if it was a monologue.
By the way, just so people know, that's not a knock on Larry Bird. That's just an endorsement of the fact that evolution is a real thing.
Who are the two best players in the NBA?
At the moment?
Yes.
Well, Jokic.
And who else?
I would say...
Say it. Don't probably, you know what's coming. Just say it.
Why? Who would you say?
Luka and Jokic.
I don't think it's Luka.
Who's slower than those two?
I don't think Luka is
slow.
Number top two.
Slow.
But they are, by the way, they are Jesse Owens compared to Larry Bird. Far more athletic. Far better athletes.
Do you think that Bird...
This is, again, not because people are going to be like, Larry Bird was this, Larry Bird. It's evolution. It's just a fact. It's not an opinion or some,
Adam,
hey, you don't like Larry Bird.
It's,
I don't think Magic Johnson can play in the league either.
It's 40-year, oh boy. It's 40-year evolution. And it's not the evolution of the sport. It's gotten better. There's a worldwide pool. The funny thing is the sport is different, but my point on the whole Cowherd thing, and I'll have to pull it next week, or our vast sound crew will. He was talking about the league becoming sort of more built around precision, and it's not all about pure athleticism. Now, I think he's missing out on what happens on defense.
Well, Natas, yes, of course. You're missing out on what's happening defensively, which the guys now would just absolutely shut down those players. I wish that you would watch them side by side. I've told you this
Why
before.
Why aren't people shutting down Jokic and Luka then?
Because they're also athletic.
Mm.
That's the starting point.
Jokic is athletic?
Yes, he
is. I mean, he moves well for a big man.
Yeah,
but
he sure does.
He's probably one of the rare seven-footers who's put up numbers in the NBA who's actually a below-the-rim player.
Yeah, but athleticism is not enough. I'm not saying athleticism just completely dominates. You have to be that athletic and that skilled. It's just a whole new world. And again, I've said this, but I wish people would force you to watch like side by side. Like watch the film side by side of players. And we did this. I've talked about
this. I think you
know
too much about basketball and you've seen too much up close to know that just saying evolution and athleticism makes the difference. I don't want to go full like John Kelly here. Remember John who used to do the was it Leroy's?
Yeah.
And John used to always talk about how heady and smart the white teams were and how dumb the black teams were.
Yeah.
We're not going to go there.
No.
But I do think we see there's a place in the game for below-the-rim guys if you're playing the right style and if you have a change of pace. Like, Luka's change of pace is amazing.
Yeah. But Luka's also...
He goes from slow to not that slow instead of, I don't know, John Morant from fast to, like, lightning fast.
But I think what you're missing is, yes, those guys are very, very deliberate in what they do and very skilled and precise in what they do, and that's what makes them very, very good. Luka would be... a freak athlete back then.
He would be a
freak.
He'd be a freak player.
He'd be a freak athlete.
He'd
absolutely be a freak player.
Yeah.
He'd be a freak athlete to them.
In the 80s, he'd be really, really, really good.
Yes. Yeah.
Would he be as good as Magic Johnson?
Again, as I've said.
Probably on the same level.
If Luka walked on the court to play against the 1984 Celtics or whatever you're going to say, I fully believe they would quit. They would say, what is that alien that you just brought here? We quit.
All right, Griffin. We dubbed it, as we always do, a No Conflict Friday. The conflict has started on the way back. We got a couple NFL stories today that I want to get into. Is the NFL ever going to stop with the money grabs? Because there was a note that came out yesterday about the Super Bowl, and there's no way the NFL should do this, should turn its back on its fans, but it will.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Just getting rolling here, 55-plus TVs, got college baseball on. Hockey coming up later on, WNBA with the Aces in Atlanta. No NBA. Long layoff now that the finals are set. We're going to break down the finals and the odds and the betting angles with Burbs. Patrick Berbert at... around 4:45 today. Let me read you a quote, Adam Hill. Steve Cofield, Adam Hill, here on this Friday. The Super Bowl is really important to us. Is that the mayor of New Orleans? Is that the mayor of San Fran speaking on behalf of Santa Clara? Or is that the mayor of London?
London, Ontario?
London, England.
Hmm. I mean, I know they've been talking about this for a long time.
Sadiq Khan of London says the Super Bowl is really important to us. We have a number of American football games, and I want it to come here because we want American sports fans in Europe to come to London to watch them, not just go to America.
think it's.
I don't believe the NFL would ever turn its back on American football fans, who many of whom in a given year might be the only Super Bowl their team makes, and they're like, "Hey, you know what? I can't afford a flight. I will take a long drive to go to the Super Bowl. I'm in." You can't drive across the Atlantic.
Well, they also, I mean, you can take a boat.
They've turned
their backs on fans. What fans go to the game?
Fans go to the city.
Sure. Well, this will just save them money. Don't go to the city. It's stupid. Just
play along.
Watch the game
on
TV.
Play along. You're not a fan. Fans will, if they have a chance, I know a lot of fans who, if their team makes it, they will come hell or high water, pay whatever it takes to get there, to get tickets, to try to get in. I mean, I know a Bills fan in town, and I know you hate the Bills now, but he was ready last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Vegas guy, so you didn't have to go far, but he was ready. Like top limit, we'll go. It's like three of us, we'll go $10,000 a ticket. I'm like, what are you, nuts?
Why didn't he go to the game?
There are fans who do that. So,
what happened to the Bills?
There's going to be a progression here, right?
Yeah,
going to happen.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's an unbelievably good idea. I absolutely think it should happen.
Yeah.
They should do it very soon. I mean, I think Vegas should host the Super Bowl every year, but I think London absolutely is a very viable place to do it. And I also will tell you this: like, I've heard a lot more people that had remorse about going to games than I have about. Then I have people like, it was the time of my life. Like, I can't believe I spent that much money. I got caught up in the fever.
Yeah.
I went to this game. I spent this much money. It was much better on TV.
Again, I don't believe you speak to average fans, but.
I do.
Maybe your friends are too smart.
That's fair.
Because I've been at many games where I'm like, I can't believe how crazy people were going for like a preseason game or, you know. The skills competition for the Pro Bowl, the pro game, whatever they're called, at Elvie Ballpark. People just go crazy to be around an NFL presence, and there are some. We've got people at the station. We've got people at the station who I don't even know if they have good finances, and they're like, yeah, PSLs for the Raiders. Let's go. I'm like, well, you can't. What are you doing? How financially irresponsible? They don't care.
I swear I'm not trying to be difficult. I will fight back with you on the skills competition at the ballpark. I was in the stands with the fans. There was not a person there that was happy being there. Everyone was miserable.
Well,
it was
the weather
so
sucked.
Cold.
Yeah, the weather
people
sucked.
People hated it. They thought that sucked. I get what you're saying, though. Yes, people love the NFL experience. They love going to it. This takes part of that away, but I do think there's very little fans that actually go to the game. Yes, you're right, the people go to the city, but I think for most NFL fans, the vast majority of NFL fans, they weren't going to go to the game anyway. They don't really care where it's played on TV.
You're
in fact, it'd be very cool.
You're so off on this. I think it would be cool, and it's good for business. I support them going to London for a Super Bowl. That year, hardcore fans who would travel, it's going to suck. It's going to cost an arm and a leg, and many of them may be willing to do it. Many others will be shut out. My question is, because I think this is going to happen, and the whole setup here is, will the NFL do something for money over the fans? Of course it will. We're seeing it right now. We've got 14 outlets now for the NFL. I feel like I'm in $500 for the season now to be able to watch every NFL game. If I want to do that, I may not do that. I don't know if I want to have every subscription, but that's a decision to be made here soon. What's more important? Or what's the progression? Having a Super Bowl in London or having two teams in Europe and building to the Super Bowl in London? Balloon the Super Bowl?
Or
is it the two teams on the ground?
I would much rather have a Super Bowl there, if I'm a fan, than two teams there. I think for the league, it's better to have teams. But
I'm not talking about for a fan.
Right,
the NFL's plan, how do you think they're going to do it?
I think that they'll probably go Super Bowl first.
Okay.
I do think they absolutely want to have a team there. I have to go read this again because I read it. It was like a year and a half ago and I read it. There's like a jet on the horizon that changes everything.
Right.
Where it makes the flying, it'll make it much cheaper and much faster. And then teams will be let's go.
Well, I was going to say, will those be available in the United States or do we have to wait 50 years?
I mean, yeah, that's true. But teams will be much more willing to, like, if the flight is only going to take, 3.5 or 4 hours instead of 8 hours or whatever it is, then, yeah, we're much more willing to play those games and it'll be much easier to travel for those teams that are over in Europe to come back for road games in America, too. So I think that will happen at some point down the road. Maybe even a division. Like four teams there, like one in London, one in Paris, one in Germany, maybe two in Germany. They love it. They love NFL there, whatever it is. But I think Super Bowl goes there first.
I heard an estimate from a guy who's pretty well connected with the NFL you know, has worked at pretty high levels, say 15 years from now. I would actually put up a poll question, but question it like this. Will you or I both be alive when the Super Bowl is in London? But I think it's just going to be a lot of no's, you know, just mocking on our conditioning.
Sure.
Yes, I don't want to get too morbid. All right, on the way back, wow, we cut this up. The Vast Sound Crew worked hard on this. I've never heard a radio guy interview feature like the one I heard yesterday. Man, this is exciting stuff. And we do have some fight updates. We got Mike Tyson, Jake Paul update, and we got UFC updates as well.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
A complicated relationship, which I love that with Dana White. Like, if you're covering the NFL, which I do, like, I'm not talking to Roger Goodell on a regular basis. I'm not having Roger Goodell go trash me on podcasts on a regular basis. Like, that's not something he does, but I embrace that part of UFC. Like, I like that.
Wait a second. That didn't sound like Cofield and Company. That was Adam Hill making an appearance on VSiN. We love VSiN. We'll mention it a bunch of times. He did 45 minutes. And it was like Barbara Walters sit down with Adam Hill.
35, I think.
It's great. I listened to the whole thing today.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Stuff I'd never heard before.
Very in-depth, deep dive.
Conversations that Adam had with his parents when he first got to Vegas.
Sure.
I didn't know your dad was open to motels, and then you said it, and then you started laughing. I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's funny.
It's because it sounds much better than it is.
It sounds significant. But you don't have to just leave it at that.
Well, that's why I laugh at it, because people are like, oh, wow. Wow, opening motel. Like, no.
Hey, man.
Couldn't get a steady job, so we had to go to the temporary openings.
So.
And live in motels for weeks.
That was Adam Hill with Dustin Swedelson and Patrick Maher. Big fan of both of those guys. You've heard Big Swede on this show from time to time, and you were talking about your relationship with Dana White, and you went on to say, you know, he's an interesting guy because he's really not much different in terms of work ethic than he was at the beginning of this whole thing. He's involved in every nook and cranny of the UFC, but you said you have a complicated relationship.
Sure.
But you don't mind that because you love the sport and he's a good guy. He's an interesting guy to cover.
It's what makes it unique. Right? Yeah. I mean, when you're covering pro sports, a lot of it's the same. I mean, I go back and forth covering the Knights and the Raiders. There's not that many differences.
Here's Adam Hill with a follow-up on that.
Do you like the sport, UFC? Are you still into it? Is something that still gets you going?
Love it. In fact, like, I don't have to be doing it now, right? Like, I can cover UFC. I can cover the Raiders. There's something to write about the Raiders every day. There's something to write about the Golden Knights every day. I can cover anything I want, really, at this point.
Wow. Okay. You've risen to the level of I get to pick mostly what I want, which I hope people realize, and we joke about it all the time. You don't have to cover UFC.
No.
In fact, I think you spearhead the coverage here in town. And if not for you, there might not be coverage. Now, for the biggest events, yes. But for a lot of the events, yeah, I don't think there'd be coverage.
For a Conor McGregor fight.
Because the market has changed, right?
Yeah, no question.
Just like I talk about it all the time. It's funny. We had Nye Zaragoza in co-hosting at the, or whatever it was, Wednesday, Tuesday, I think it was Wednesday. And she was asking me during a break, because I was saying during a break, I do stuff with UNLV. So she's like, oh, once football's back, like, you guys do all UNLV? And I'm like, no, I don't really do any.
No.
We do it from time to time, but the market's changed, just like, and I heard you say this on the VSiN interview, which, by the way, you can hear on 1340, check that, 1230 The Game, and also Raider Nation Radio from time to time. We run VSiN. I heard you say it, that the market's changed, right?
Yeah.
Like, UFC used to be one of the, in its real rise and strength, it used to be like a top three thing to cover here. Obviously, UNLV was much bigger in the past, and now everything's been kind of knocked down levels. Now, if you win and you draw, you're going to move back up, right? But things have changed. So I'm doing this because I'm saying, you know what, I've said it on the air before. I admire that you cover so much UFC still, and it's basically you going, hey, we got to cover it.
Yeah, and I would suggest people don't go listen to that. It was just a lot of talking about me, which is very
no,
weird.
It's great. It was great.
Very weird, strange.
It was great. Real examination.
Strange, in-depth
interview. His dreams.
I actually thought I was showing up to do a Raiders interview.
There was a little Raiders in there, like, yeah, 2 minutes.
I mean, I
it was, and then it turned into Darren Waller and MD and all that stuff.
The Darren Waller story is one of my favorite stories.
Well, you wouldn't let him go to break.
That's true.
I could hear him as like, a fellow right. as a fellow lead. I was like, "Can you just let him finish? Get out! Get the hell out!"
No, I have to talk about the song. As you know, that's all I want to talk about ever now.
I am also like you, fascinated with the UFC and the history and the way they work and how it's changed over the years. The other thing I'm fascinated about is the origins of the sport were, let's bring guys in who are fight sport people. They may have different strengths, and there is. You tell me, is this guy one of the best prospects? Could they build him up in terms of popularity, too? He comes with a name. He comes with a following. But I'm seeing that Gable Stevenson, 6'1", 275?
Stevenson,
sorry.
It's a mistake. It's a mistake a lot of people make. That's why I was just making sure.
I have it here. Or you maybe you edited it. What's going on with him? Is he coming to UFC or not?
Well, he's been in, after one of the most successful college wrestling careers of all time, he's been in the WWE development program to become a professional wrestler, and he's been released from that. So everybody just kind of assumed, all right, this guy that so many people a couple of years ago thought was going to transition from amateur wrestling to MMA and instead went to professional wrestling, here's the chance to get him back. Here's the chance to get him, you know, with a fight team, get him training, get him into the octagon and see what he can actually do, much like another very prized amateur wrestler, Bo Nickel, who right now is the top prospect that the UFC has. Now it's Gable Stevenson's
turn. Oh, no, I screwed you up.
I know you did. It's his turn to make that transition as well. So everybody's just kind of waiting on, you know, which gym is he going to go to? Who's he going to sign with? How's this going to work out? And then he said, nope, signing with the Buffalo Bills.
Going to the NFL. He's going to try the NFL.
Try the NFL.
Okay. How old is he?
That's a good question. I think he's mid-20s.
Do you think this is, one, he dreams of making football at the highest level? Two, you know what, money-wise, I'm not there yet. Or you're not there yet. Is UFC...
No, because I don't think he's... It's going to take a long time to actually make money in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, I would imagine he's not going to be, like, on the roster. He'd be a practice squad guy.
But in the NFL, as you're trying out for it, you understand you're not going to be making much above minimum. If you think you're highly marketable and skilled for the UFC and you feel like they're not giving you the offer, you can wait too. He can go try the NFL and then come back in a couple of years and say, hey, you know what, I want what I asked for the first time.
You also just might not want to take a punch.
Maybe wrestlers,
and
not always
that's
easy.
Not a critique. I don't want to take a punch.
No.
So I mean that could be part of it too. Like I'm gonna try to find some other way. Not that it's not tough to be in the NFL. Yeah. It's incredibly tough.
Brock Lesnar didn't like getting punched.
No,
we
he
had
did
Tim
not
Sylvia say, I think he said to us, and he probably said it on a press call, that like, hey, when he worked out with us at our gym, man, he hated getting punched. Like, you got to get used to it. It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. So I think that's part of it. And he was released from his contract, you know, just recently. And this month he was released from the WWE contract. So it's a pretty new decision, and I'm sure it's something he's been thinking about for a while.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
I'm tired and I want to be still. Imagine if we fell out of tune. Cause who knew that love could kill? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
Griffin's playing these gut-wrenching songs. Let's bring in Willie Ramirez. Willie, wipe that tear away, buddy. Wipe it away.
Damn, you got me in my feels.
It's hard to watch.
I had to add that to my playlist for warm-up. I told Adam yesterday, so I got a specific order that the songs are in. It builds up. That's a good warm-up song for, you know, getting ready for the gym.
I want to get to that song and some other serious notes in a couple of seconds, but let's come out of the gates. Willie is on for a lot of reasons, and this time of year, I mean, WNBA, no one covers it like he does at WGRamirez.com and for the AP. Let's come out of the gates and get to one of the big stories around the WNBA, and that is the frustration around the Fever. They're not winning, and a lot of people are turning their attention to the Fever coach.
Yeah, I was guilty of that. You know, I didn't really think about it too much, but yet I was saying two different things in terms of, you know, Christie sides, maybe not realizing what she needs to do, putting too much pressure on Caitlin Clark, forgetting that she has the leading scorer in Kelsey Mitchell back, forgetting that she has the reigning rookie of the year in Aaliyah Boston back, forgetting about Nelissa Smith, you know, and sort of being pressured into using Caitlin Clark as much as she's using him. And why not? She's the number one overall pick, and she is who she is. But at the same time, sitting there saying, wow, look at this schedule that they're enduring. You know, I was watching last night's press conference. I had to watch it. I watched it after they sent it out. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me. I started doing the numbers. This team has traveled over nearly 7,500 miles, 9 games in 17 days. Like, it's like one game every 1.8 days, which means they're barely getting a day off. So they play the next day. They can't really do a full-fledged practice because they got to play the next day. If they're traveling, they're traveling, you know, and then there's treatment and then there's recovery. When do they actually have a chance to make the adjustments that need to be made? Caitlin Clark comes out of the Final Four, out of the tournament, goes to the draft. Then you have a couple weeks later is training camp, once they open training camp, and then she's whisked away 9 games across the board. The Aces are just getting to play their 6th game tonight and only their 2nd on the road. Chicago Sky are in tomorrow. Angel Reese's first visit to Indianapolis, which I'm sure she can't wait for this game. They played their first 3 on the road, their next 3 at home. They're playing their 7th game tomorrow and just their 2nd road trip. I mean, maybe everybody needs to take a step back, including myself, because I was critical of Christy Sides and what she was doing and how she was coaching this team, that she just hasn't had a chance either. Caitlin Clark hasn't had a chance to come up for air. Christy Sides hasn't had a chance to really coach her team because she's been thrown in the mix. And let's not forget about the gauntlet that they were thrown under in terms of the teams that they had to play. So last night's press conference kind of made sense. It sort of opened my eyes a little bit to maybe what she's going through.
Well, I think there's also something to be said, Willie, of like, what is the team's goals, right? Because I was making the case last week, and it's not me making an opinion. Their numbers as an efficient team were much, much better when Caitlin Clark was not in the game. But her job is to develop Caitlin Clark and get her ready. Her job is not to win games right now. So there is like a question of what are you supposed to be doing? Are you going to throw Caitlin Clark on the bench because she's dragging your team down? Or are you trying to develop her? Like, what is the goals of the team? That has to go into the consideration too.
It does, and you're right, because there was the one game, and I can't remember which game it was, where she came off the court, and they made the run, and was it the Connecticut game? They made a run, and they were in position to win, and then they brought her back out. But during that time frame, the analytics showed that they were much better, much more efficient, and it was with the team that, you know, was part of this core from last year, including Kelsey Mitchell, the leading scorer, which I've been saying all along should be the go-to gunslinger on this team, is Kelsey Mitchell, not Caitlin Clark. I get it. We know who she is, but you're right. She needs to be developed as a professional. She needs to be developed physically. You know, she needs to be going the weight room. A lot of these people, they get drafted. The NBA, the draft's in June, right? The June draft, and then they have X amount of months to prepare. April draft NFL, they have X amount of months to get ready. These girls had a week and a half to prepare for training camp. So it is Christy Side's job to develop her. I just don't know how much time she's actually had to do that and figure out how she's going to do it.
So I wanted to ask you, as somebody who follows the WNBA very closely, and I'm not saying this is somebody I respect or trust or whatever, but it's a sports influencer on social media today had a tweet, and it infuriated me because it's what I've been saying all along. She said, "All I'm saying is by trapping Caitlin Clark starting at half court and double and triple teaming her, you and the WNBA are denying the growth of the league and making it look like it's run by a bunch of thugs. What is the league so afraid of? What are the players so afraid of? Why isn't the NBA speaking out on their investment that is failing because of this?"
Wait a minute. So instead, they're just supposed to let her do whatever she wants?
Yes.
I don't want to say who it is. It's
somebody who's a sports influencer on social media. Who, again, I don't respect. I'm not saying this is like a legitimate opinion or a strong. Like,
wow.
I'm just saying that's the kind of tweets that drive me nuts.
Yeah, that's bad.
Because in reality. You know, this is, I mean, that's, Yeah, no, I don't even. I agree with you. It's not going to really infuriate me, but I just don't. I'm like, come on now. I mean, actually, play her like she's supposed to be played, so she can learn. I hate to use this analogy, but it's like jumping her into the WNBA, right? No, put her through the rigors of what's supposed to go on in being, because when she is developed and established in about 3-4 years and she has put on some muscle and all of a sudden has a physique like a professional, a little bit more bulked up and everything, and she can take the physicality that she's going to crush it. She's going to, because she's already got the long range game, right? She's already firing up. Andrea Carter made this point to Chinne Agumike on one of the shows this week. There are only three players in the league that have made more than two threes from 25 or deep. Kelsey Plum, Diana Taurasi, and who? Caitlin Clark. So, yeah, you better jump on her when she crosses the line. They better be doing that, because if you leave her open, she's going to kill you. The reason why we're seeing the turnovers and her get frustrated and her sort of get clamped down, and she's still putting up some numbers, let's not shy away from that, is because of the defense they're playing on her. And I totally disagree with that tweet.
Willie Ramirez is up on Kofi and Company as he joins us every Friday, talking a little WNBA, talking local sports, Raiders, and in this case, Giants and the Aces. Okay, we played the Darren Waller song coming in. A lot of people are having fun with it. There's a fake Kelsey Plum. Plum and Waller were married. They got divorced. Give me your reaction. Where do you think Darren Waller is right now?
I feel sorry for that actress for the next however long is going to be known as the fake Kelsey Plum. That's for sure.
Okay.
Your guys' segment yesterday on this was fantastic, by the way. And who was it? Adam, was it you who said, "I wonder what Sid Colson and the rest of the team are doing in the locker room"? Because
The group text.
Today pregame. Are you kidding me? If listen to me. If I was the Atlanta Dream DJ Joe Green, who we all know is, right? DJ Joe Green, who does the Aces and the Golden Knights. If I was a DJ in Atlanta, I would make sure that song was played at least 17 times today in Atlanta. Are you kidding me? That has to be played in Atlanta tonight. Am I wrong, Adam?
Every time she goes to the free throw line, it's coming,
yes,
it's coming off.
Because in the WNBA, the music is played during the game. Yep. That song's got to be played in Atlanta tonight. Now, I can't wait to get off this show because the game starts in 11 minutes. I just thought of that.
Why should they play anything else?
Yeah, the entire night. That should be the theme song. That should be the theme song. Where's Darren Waller at right now? Here's the thing. It's one thing, and we're all having fun with this. Yes, we've said it. I'm not putting anything on social media. But the one thing that I will say, okay, because Adam and I have had one-on-one conversations with Darren, whether it's in the Raiders locker room, whether it's out in public, whether it's, and Adam, you said something yesterday that was interesting. You said when you use the word weird, I'll tell you one thing. Jordan, my son, was at a private party, and Darren Waller was there, and he texted me. He goes, "You sure this dude Darren Waller is a professional athlete?" I was like, "Why?" This was like the very during COVID year, I think. And I said, "Why?" He said, "This guy's off in the corner by himself. He keeps to himself, and there are a lot of young women there where this was at." And I'll never forget that. And he just doesn't come across like a professional athlete. The guy's just kind of off to himself, by himself. He keeps to himself. I hope that where he's at right now, to answer your question, Steve, hasn't sent him back into a downward spiral. I will just say that, because we all know what he's gone through chemically, alcohol-wise. If there's one area I just hope that it didn't slip into, we can have fun all we want, is as far as his abuse. But yeah, he's definitely in a bad headspace right now.
And I that word, I know, is, as Steve mentioned it yesterday, like, people take it differently. He's an incredibly, incredibly nice guy.
Right.
He's just different. He's very, very different from what professional athletes usually are. I don't think he ever – I'm speaking for him, I guess, but it's – if you imply from our conversations that we've had, and I know you have too, I don't think he ever loved football or necessarily even cared about football. He just happened to be really good at football, and it was one place that he actually was, like, accepted and fit in. And so he's like, "I guess I'll do this." And it turned out to be very, very profitable for him, and helped turn around his life. But I don't think it's something he ever was that passionate about. I think he'd much rather be making music and doing art. Like, that's just what he wants to do.
I could see that. I could see him walking away from him being just fine with it. I think this threw him for a loop. You know, a lot of people are out there saying he fumbled the bag. Did he cheat? Did he do this? We don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I haven't heard, Adam. I don't know. You've been in and around the Raiders locker room. I don't know if we actually know.
No, Kelsey stabbed him on the beach.
She did stab him on the beach, and he did survive with the water and the sand dribbling in and out of
him. We don't know if he survived. It was kind of cliffhanger.
That's on the video.
It was a cliffhanger.
You're delivering it like it's the truth. Stop being
so sarcastic. We don't know if he ever got away from
there. It's in the video. She didn't stab him.
We need part two.
Well, the bottom line is, for him to cut, he did, you know, he is a very big, you know, music guy. We know he liked to rap. We know he liked to put out music. So this obviously is lingering, and you have to wonder, you also have to wonder if the Giants are like, okay, is this dude's head, okay, you know, is he, where's he at? So I don't know. I don't want to bash on the guy too bad. I mean, to put that out there, he's obviously hurting.
Well, I think
Willie,
I think we can make clear that we're bashing on the song, not on him. I think both of us feel the same way about him. We both like him a lot from knowing him a little bit, but the song, if it was one of our best friends, we would make fun of this endlessly, and I think that's okay.
Let me tell you something. To be honest with you, I should download the song to my phone and make it his ringtone when he texts. When we text now, we don't text that anymore because he's not in town. But when he was here in Vegas and we kept in touch, it would be his ringtone.
I just hope wherever he is, he just takes time to heal.
He's trying to take time to heal. He just didn't know that love killed.
More conflict. We only got a couple minutes here, Willie, so I want to get to the latest moves by the Aces. They drafted someone 16th in the draft. He's already been cut, and they added a veteran, right?
Yep. So
we got about 2 minutes.
Daisha Fair is out. Tiffany Hayes is in. Now, you and I talked yesterday about this, Steve. There are different, you know, question marks as to why Fair was let go. I personally have my belief, which is that I just don't think that her personality fit with the culture of the team, because you're talking about the third leading scorer in NC2A history. She can ball. She can score. I just think that there had to have been some sort of chemistry where you have to fit into the culture. Tiffany Hayes can come right in, fit right in. She's a veteran. The players know her. They're going to immediately have respect for her. I know that she's not with the team. I texted John Maxwell to see if she's available. He said all he said was not with team. So I don't mind the move. What I do wonder, though, is what does this tell us? To bring someone in with that caliber of play and the history behind her, how long is Chelsea Gray really going to be out? And if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I asked Becky Hammond, there was a clip of Monica McNutt when they were going through the WNBA preview, and she said the Aces are going to miss Chelsea Gray this year. And I don't know if she just slipped or if she meant something different or meant the start of the season, but I asked Becky Hammond, I said, I need to clarify this only because it was said on ESPN, is Chelsea Gray coming back this year? Because Monica McNutt said it this way. Did she accidentally say it the wrong way? Becky chuckled and said, Chelsea Gray's not out for the year. That's all she said. She didn't say a definite time. But I do have to wonder how long she's out to bring in someone of Tiffany Hayes' caliber of play.
Willie, great spot, man. And reminder, Willie, myself, and Paloma were on Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, Sin City Beat, with Mike Davis. That'll be airing tonight, so half-hour debate and discussion show. It'll be on Fox 5 over the weekend tonight at 5:30, and really, really good stuff on the Aces and the spirited conversation on Caitlin Clark as well. Willie, we'll see you, buddy.
All right, love kills. Talk.
I have to say from that show, and I don't want to spoil it, I watched Paloma and Willie talk about what they thought about Daisha Fair, who just got cut, and I was like, every fan of women's sports should be so happy right now because they did not pull any punches. Their criticism or critique of the situation was harsh, but it's what they have seen and heard, and I was like, my God, this is what every women's sports fan should want, because it wasn't a, you go, girl. We can't say that about a female athlete. I was like, this is – I sat back, and I was like, woo, you guys are rough. It was a good, really good take, informed take, and they're like, yeah, we're not pulling punches, man. That's why the young lady's not here anymore, and I hope she hooks on somewhere else. But for right now, she ain't playing with the Aces.